Well, good morning. Before we start our service, there are a few intimations. The first intimation is one of these intimations. It's like closing the stable door after the horse is bolted. But you'll have noticed that there's no access to the school car park this morning. And that's going to be the case for the summer period at least. They're obviously taking advantage of the fact that the children are not there to make it easier access for big vehicles to get out and into the works that are going on. But I'm reliably informed that the car park will come into use again later in the summer season. The second thing is that Dave has been asking me to try and compile a list of people who would be willing to do the readings in the church. And at the moment, I've got a list of three people. So if you are willing to do a reading on a Sunday, if you speak to me or to Dave and give your telephone number and your email address so that he can let you know what it is he wishes you to read. And the third intimation is to do with the leaflets on the table in the vestibule for the summer mission. We had a good response last weekend, and a good number of the leaflets went away, but there are still a few to be distributed. And we have a slightly bigger area to do this year, so we would be grateful if anybody still thinks they can help, but if they would take some leaflets from the table in the vestibule. The psalmist writes, "Thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." Let's give thanks to the Lord, singing his praises in our first hymn, "O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness."
Thank you.
assure you that's not my stomach. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, while the weather outside often doesn't appear to show it, we thank you today for summer, a time when the children are on holiday from school, with long days in which to relax and have fun. A time when many people take the opportunity to go off to different places to relax, soak up some sun, visit new places, or take part in new and different adventures. Father, we thank you for the light and warmth of summer. We thank you for the sun when it's about. We thank you for the gifts of nature and for the annual cycle of the seasons. Lord, give us the grace each day to see you as the creator of all good things around us. Lord God, we have to own up and admit that we are not always worthy of your goodness towards us. And we confess that we often say things that would be better left unsaid, have thoughts that would be better left out of our mind, and do things we shouldn't do, while we don't do things that we should. Father, in your goodness and mercy, forgive us all our mistakes. May we walk with you this summertime in whatever we do or wherever we go. And Lord, remind us that walking in your ways means walking with honesty, walking with courage, and walking with love and respect for you and for others. All these things we pray for in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord. And we further pray in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I am pleased that there are some children here this morning, but especially in summer months, you're never sure whether you're going to have children in the church or not. But I'm sure for the kids who are here, this past week has been quite an exciting week for them, because they've given up school, they're stopped school, they're on their summer holidays. And of course, at summer time, what happens? It gives you all day to do whatever you want, out, whether it's out the back garden or about the town. And of course, you sometimes would go elsewhere for a holiday. So because it's the holiday time, I thought what we would do is we would have a wee holiday quiz. And Ross has helped me by making up a wee visual holiday quiz that's going to come up on the screens. Now, because we weren't sure how many children were going to be here, I didn't want to make the quiz too easy. So I'm sure Natalie is not doing higher geography or anything like that yet, no. So she might not be able to get some of the pictures, so you'll need to. You're right if you get exactly what Ross puts on the screen, because he's put up the picture and then he's put up another picture, and the other picture has got the structure. It's the structure. It's not where it is, it's what it is, right? Not where it is, it's what it is. And we'll give... Well, you're going to have a hard time. I've seen you're having time off school. You're going to be late school because you're going to get bombarded with questions. But we'll give the young ones a wee chance, first of all, and then we'll go. So, Ross, are we ready to run? First. Yeah, say it louder. Blackpool, right? It's Blackpool, but what's the structure? the tower, Blackpool Tower. Oh, he's put it up, hasn't he? And there was me. I used to say to the kids at the school, I've got eyes in the back of my head and I don't, and and the answer's up there. Right, number two. Yes. There's your granny, will help. Buckingham Palace. Oh, and it's there. I can see it this time. I forget that they're there, Rose. Number three. Oh, good on you. It's Sydney Opera House. Yes, it's Sydney Opera House in Sydney Harbour. And just pretend that we're in that sort of sun and heat just now. Right, Ross. Come on, gentlemen. Is it not where we're all supposed to take our wives? Mind you, you've never been there, have you, dear? The Taj Mahal. No. No, it's not the Statue of Liberty. Good guess, though. You're right. You've just not got the name, I don't think. you did show me the quiz before. You're right. But the full name is, it's a statue of Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro. But there's also a copy in Portugal, right? There's a copy of you in Lisbon, in Portugal. See, they're two used before in travel. You got it? Come on, Helen, have you? Killeen? Nah. It's maybe Killeen after an earthquake or something. More. Or eruption, you know? Tell them, well, there you are, Dorothy, Edinburgh Castle. It's Edinburgh Castle. You just don't recognise it because the sky's clear and blue and it's, you know, that's... Next one.
Stonehenge.
Good lad, yes, Stonehenge, right? Big stones, as somebody said in that television programme recently. Where's that? You're somewhere in Italy. Can you narrow it down to where's all the water in Italy? What's the city with all the water? We know how many gamers are. Right, it's Venice. But tell them, where is it? It's the Rialto. It's the Rialto Bridge in Venice. Recognise? You maybe not can name it. You might recognise it, though. There's a lot of four dying there flying over the sky. Do you recognise it? Well, it's what some people refer to as the Harry Potter Bridge, because it was used in the Harry Potter movies. But its real name is the Glenfinnan Viaduct, the Glenfinnan Viaduct. One of my favourite places in Scotland is the wee area around Glenfinnan. She's surprised, eh? It's the Great Wall of China, the only man-made structure that they say you can see from space. Right, the next one. It's a Statue of Liberty. Next one. You're right in the place, and it's the structure. Oh, I didn't even know you were there. I thought I was hearing voices. You're right, Alan. The Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur. You're right. It's in Dubai. It's the tallest structure, tallest building in the world. Anybody? You better tell them, Ross. It's the Burj Khalifa. It's the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. Right? Oh. It's the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen. The Little Mermaid in Copenhagen. Again, you might not recognise it because the weather's good. Yes, Ken's got it there. It's Elian Donnan Castle up north. The sort of, what is it they call that? The shortbread tin picture. Where's that? It looks like an ice rink, but it's not an ice rink. It looks like an ice rink that way. The Louvre in Paris. It's the Louvre in Paris. That is. Right? That's well done. Well, the reason, boys and girls, men and women, that I chose to do a holiday quiz is because when you look at all these places, you're looking at various places in the world. But something that links all of these places and us here in Stevenston is that it doesn't matter where you are in the world, God is there. So as we sit here in Livingston Church in Stevenston, God is with us. But if we were standing in Blackpool looking at the Blackpool Tower, God's with us there. If we were looking at the Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur, God is with us there. If we were in front of Sydney Opera House in Sydney, God is there. Because no matter where we are, God is with us, helping us and protecting us. And boys and girls, you and some other people, when we see these structures, we might be on holiday, but even although we're on holiday, the one thing is God, although he's maybe at these various places with us, God is never on holiday. He never takes a holiday. His love and his care for us is for all time, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And that's why I've chosen this short hymn for you, Wherever I Am. It's a new hymn, it's a brief hymn, it's a fairly familiar tune. I said all this down the road at our dear this morning, and then when we tried it, it was absolute rubbish. You're going to be better. You're going to be better. And I'm not putting any pressure on you, but can I just say, it's actually a children's hymn. It's a children's hymn. But Mary's going to play, well, she's going to play it over once for us just now. And then once you've learned the tune, right? Once you've learned the tune, we're going to sing the same verse three times. First time's your other practice, your second practice. Your second time is your wee kind of iffy bit, and your third time's when you're going to be absolutely brilliant at it. Right? So, you can stay in your seats just now. Here's the tune. Lines for us again, because Right, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. Right. We'll stand to sing it. You sing better. I used to have a music teacher at school and said you sang better than you're standing. Can we have a go?
Wherever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me.
Oh, well done. You were better than Ardy. The first reading is from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, and we're reading from verses 1 to 12. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, and reading from verse 5, and reading verses 5 to 8, we hear this. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We continue our worship singing the third hymn on our sheet, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I want to follow on a bit from what I was speaking about to the children. Namely, that it doesn't matter where we are at any time in our life, God is there. Our kids sat and listened and accepted that fact. Not like the child that I read about during the week when I was preparing for today. The scene. A young boy sitting having a serious discussion with his mum. "Where is God?" the child asked innocently. "He's in heaven," the mother replies. "Does he live there?" "Yes." "Where's Jesus?" "He's in your heart." "But I thought Jesus and God were the same person." "They are. So how can he be in heaven and in my heart at the same time?" "That's hard to explain to a wee one like you," the mother said. A short pause. "Where does the Holy Spirit live?" Another short pause. "I think it's time for you to go and have a nap," said the mother. It's not so easy to explain to children God's omnipresence. Indeed, it's not easy for us as adults to understand and accept God's omnipresence. Where is God? That's an important question. Those who are seeking God, I'm sure they want to know the answer to that. The skeptic certainly wants to know. So possibly do some sinners, because they hope to know where he isn't, and maybe they can scarper there to get out of his way. And certainly, every single hurting person who feels abandoned by God wants to know, where is God? Where is God when I need him? I'm sure every one of us has asked that question at some point in our life. And certainly, I'm sure that that's a question that must have been asked many times these last few weeks by many people in Manchester and London, and also following the Grenfell Tower attacks. As Christians, we believe that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and present everywhere, even when it doesn't seem as if that's the case. Many modern cleaning products that we buy boast that they deal with 99.9% of the problem, be it bacteria or germs or whatever. But God is not a 99.9% God. The God that we put our faith and trust in is 100%. Whenever we need him, wherever we need him, and whatever we need him to help us with. Psalm 139 that we read together reinforces this as the psalmist considers how God knows him inside and out. He wonders where he might go to hide from him. But it doesn't matter where he contemplates. He realizes that God is already there. Even darkness is no obstacle. So if God is everywhere, we as churchgoers need to forever remind ourselves that God is not simply contained within this building, a place that we sometimes refer to as his house, but rather he's every bit as much, and possibly even more, out there in places and with people that we don't find particularly pleasant, But if we are to truly serve him, we need to do it wherever he calls us and leads us, and whatever he asks us to do. We need to widen our perception of God, and we need to widen our perception of what God is like. When I was doing my teacher training, as part of our religious education course, we had to do a survey with young children as to what they thought God was like and as to what they thought God looked like. And we were expected to finish the survey with them by asking them to draw a picture of God. For any child to turn around and say that they couldn't draw a picture of God because they didn't know what he looked like was, thankfully, acceptable. But there was one drawing that I got from one child that was the house, the square house, the wee door, the roof, the four windows with the wee curved curtains at the window. I think, showing my age, at that time there would be a chimney with smoke coming out the chimney. And walking down the garden path was a man carrying a briefcase. The only difference was the man carrying the briefcase had long flowing locks and a big flowing cloak or coat. You see, that was because the child drew God as they knew him. They associated God with what they knew. So that child's father obviously went out to work in the morning carrying a briefcase. And that's the picture that that child drew. And sometimes we as adults are given to doing the same. But God is not like that. We can't imagine what God is like. And he's certainly not a Stevensonian. Or he's not a Scot. And he doesn't operate in the world in only British ways. As believers, we need to hold fast to the truth that God is with us, and that God is with us in the most terrible of times, even though it sometimes appears to others and to us that he's not there. He is in the midst of suffering, pain, sickness, sorrow, illness, war, and natural disasters. What's more, he's available for us to call on him and his help 24/7. We can seek his presence and his help through prayer. And when we pray to God, it's not going to be, or it's not like one of these annoying phone calls that we make to companies. We're not going to get some angel saying, you know, your call is important, your prayer is important to God. However, he's busy. Please try again later. No, our prayers are important to him. And he will listen wherever, whenever, on whatever we pray about. God is present even when we don't realise it. For example, think about radio waves. We tend to forget that as we sit in here in the church this morning, we are absolutely surrounded by radio waves. TV waves, radio waves, mobile phone waves. They're all there, but we don't realise it because we don't see them. And at this point in time, we don't have a receiver that's tuned in to receive them. We don't have a receiver that's at the right frequency. Likewise, God is there all the time. But sometimes we are not tuned in to his frequency, so we don't sense that he is there all the time. But God is always near to us, his children. We read it this morning in Hebrews. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus promises, I am with you always. And in the Old Testament, as he was getting to the end of his long life, Moses reminded his people, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible tells us that he draws near to us in time of pain and suffering. In Psalm 34, we would read, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Indeed, throughout the centuries, many of God's most faithful servants experienced his powerful, uplifting presence in the most terrible of times when they were faced with the greatest of sorrow or danger. God is also near to us when we least expect him, and in ways that can sometimes be highly unexpected. That kind word, that phone call that you get, that invitation, that offer of help from a neighbour will often be God helping us, caring for us, through the words and actions of others. We're also told in Scripture that he draws near to those who approach him in faith. Psalm 145 tells us, the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. While in the letter of James, challenges us to come near to God and he will come near to you. We started this morning talking about holidays. Well, we can go wherever we want on holiday, far away from home, but we will always be close to God, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And in this mobile phone age, when they talk about at holiday periods about roaming, so with your mobile phone contract, you can roam in Britain or you can now roam in Europe, and there's no roaming charges, but go outside Europe and there will be charges. Well, keeping in touch with God through prayer has no charges, no limits, anywhere or at any time. All we have to do is talk to him. He'll be there. And just like the title that I gave to this talk, he'll be there wherever we are, whenever we need him, and whatever we want to talk to him about. We continue our worship singing our next hymn. continue to worship God in the giving of our offering. Let's come before God in prayer once more. Let us pray. Lord God, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you, but we ask that you will accept these, our monetary offerings, asking your blessing upon them and asking that we may use them wisely to further the work of your kingdom here in this place as well as further afield. Father, at the same time, we offer you our whole being, asking for your guidance and help as to how each one of us can work for you here in Stevenston. Lord, we take time now to place before you the needs of others, some known and some unknown to us. Gracious Lord, we remember those who are ill, in hospital or at home, asking that they might have the healing of your presence. We pray for those who have been or will be called into your presence today, asking that they might have eternal rest. And we place before you all those who mourn their passing. Lord God, we pray for the many troubled areas of the world, asking that you might work in the hearts and minds of those with authority to lead them to seek peace and reconciliation with those whom they see as their enemy. And we remember those innocent men, women, and children whose lives are blighted by the fighting and destruction that takes place around them on an almost daily basis. Father, we place before you all those who have been affected by the attacks that have taken place in our country these past few weeks, as well as placing before you those affected by the tragedy of Grenfell Towers, or by the knock-on effect of the building cladding issue. Lord, be present with them in their time of crisis. But Lord, don't let us forget the many who are facing what for them is their own crisis, but whose plight is not brought to our attention through news reports. Father God, be with all who are in any kind of need. Be with them and be with us, today and every day. Amen. We close our worship singing the hymn that's based on the reading that we had in Psalm 139, "You are before me, God, you are behind."
You are before me, Lord, you are.
May we go from this time of worship ready to serve you, Lord, wherever we are and in whatever we are doing. In the heat of our daily living, help us to rest in the cooling shade of your presence. And may your grace, mercy, and peace be with each one of us and those whom we love today and every day.